1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, November 20th, 2017, it marks Thanksgiving week. Can you believe that, folks? Thanksgiving week is here. I can just smell the turkey and the collard greens and the macaroni and cheese and the cranberry sauce and the greens. Oh, my. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. I know many of you cannot wait to grub with your family and friends later on this week on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving week. Hopefully you guys are having a great start to your Thanksgiving week. We plan on making it a bit better, though, here on WKAR's current sports, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We've got a ton to get to, and as I usually promise each and every Monday here on the show, I am going to do my best to try and recap as much as I can. A busy weekend in the world of sports. How about the Honolulu Blue? The Detroit Lions topping the Chicago Bears. Out at Soldier Field. It was almost a loss, though. The Lions almost blew this against the Chicago Bears, of all teams. We'll recap what took place out in Chi-Town yesterday. And we have a ton of Michigan State sports chatter on today's current sports. The Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams played at the Breslin in a doubleheader. The women tipping off at noon against the College of Charleston. And then right after that game concluded, Tom Izzo and his troops welcomed Stony Brook to the Breslin Center for a 4 p.m. tip time. We'll recap both of those games. And at 1 o'clock, sandwiched in between those games, you had the Michigan State men's soccer team moving along in the NCAA tournament in second round action as they played host to Virginia Tech. We'll actually talk with John LeBlanc, state news beat writer for the Michigan State men's soccer team. John was there along with myself braving the cold elements as Damon Rensing's team moved along. And now we'll play Western Michigan in third round action come this weekend, this Saturday to be exact, at 6 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. And of course, how about Mark D'Antonio's Michigan State football team beating Maryland at Spartan Stadium, the final regular season home game for Michigan State. And Mark Senior Day, we'll recap that as well. So as you see, a ton to get to. Our plate runneth over. If you want to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we currently have the live stream up and running. Comment below the live stream. I'll do my best to get to your comments on today's show and join us via Twitter. Tweet the show officially at WKAR_sports or tweet me at my Twitter handle at Al Martin WKAR or at least shoot me a follow. Help a brother out. Let's start this party though like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. we start with the Detroit Lions. The Lions won a nail-biter yesterday, beating the Chicago Bears 27-24 at Soldier Field. They were leading 24-17 late in the fourth quarter. That's before Bears running back Tariq Cohen. He scored a 15-yard touchdown pass to make it 24-24. Matt Prater would then hit the game-winning field goal with just under 2 minutes left in the game, thanks to Bears kicker Connor Barth missing the game-tying 46-yard field goal with 8 seconds left in the game. Prater will now help the Lions against NFC North leading 8-2, the Minnesota Vikings on Turkey Day, Thanksgiving Day. Kickoff scheduled for 12:30 p.m. That game will be televised on Fox. More on the Lions in just a moment. The Detroit Red Wings continue their home point streak, I should say, in a 4-3 overtime loss to the Colorado Avalanche. The Wings are now 10-9-2 on the season with a 4-3-2 home record. The Wings would get on the board from Justin Ablocator. He scored an early goal. The Avs would answer, leaving the score 1-1 until Andreas Athanasiou would break away and put the Wings up. Nicholas Cronwall will put up the Wings up in the third goal of the night. They would be unable to hold a 3-2 lead, allowing Colorado to score late in the third period to force the game into overtime. The Wings invite the Edmonton Oilers to LCA on Wednesday. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 p.m. The Detroit Pistons, in a close 100-97 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minneapolis yesterday, the Pistons overcame an 11-point deficit and were able to salvage a win during their three-game road trip. Detroit, now 11-5 on the season, swept the season series against the T-Wolves and won their sixth straight matchup. Reggie Jackson finished with 16 points, scored 9 in the final 5 minutes, including back-to-back buckets to help the Pistons take the lead for good with 55 seconds left. Jackson added 4 assists and complimented Andre Drummond's 20 points, 16 boards. Drummond also had 2 blocks to a total of 600 in his career. Pretty impressive stuff there. Jimmy Butler, though, had a chance to tie the game at 98, but was distracted by Jackson and missed a crucial free throw to keep Minnesota in the game. Detroit back in action tonight and will welcome the struggling Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right, LeBron James makes a visit to the D at Little Caesars Arena. You can catch that game at 7 p.m. Sophomore quarterback Brian Lewerke completed just 2 of 14 passes for 20 yards on Saturday, but L.J. Scott's 147 yards on the ground helped carry the number 24 Michigan State football team to its 8th win of the season after taking care of Maryland 17-7. The final there, not great conditions at Spartan Stadium, cold, snowy, and rainy. The University of Michigan, however, was not as lucky in its endeavors as they were upset. Well, I should say too upset. Number 5, Wisconsin, on Saturday. The number 19 Wolverines lost 24-10 to the Badgers in Madison. U of M quarterback Brandon Peters left Saturday's game with an apparent head injury. He was unable to leave the field under his own power, and he was carted off the field in a wheelchair and taken to the local hospital. Peter's status for this week's game against Ohio State is still unclear. Michigan, who fell out of this week's Associated Press Top 25, will host number 8 Ohio State. The Buckeyes clinched the Big Ten East last week with a 52-14, just absolute trouncing over Illinois. MSU climbed to number 21 and will play a 4-7 Rutgers team on Saturday on the road. Kennedy Johnson and Sidney Cooks led the way with 18 points each, and the Michigan State women's basketball team improved to 3-0 on Sunday night, well, I should say Sunday afternoon, with a 107-43 win against the College of Charleston. The win marks the first time in program history that Michigan State has scored at least 95 points in the first 3 games of the season. They look like the Golden State Warriors right now. Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team also played on Sunday, improved to 2-1 with a 22-point victory over Stony Brook, 93-71. This one was much closer than the final score indicates, though. Nick Ward earned his first double-double of the season with 22 points, 11 boards to lead MSU. Miles Bridges chipped in 20 points and 6 boards, but did have an injury scare in the second half where he went down with a twisted ankle, went to the locker room, would not return to the game. Don't know what his status for this week will be, but we'll find out very soon, I'm sure, from head coach Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo actually commented after the game and said that at the latest, or I should say even at the earliest, he expects an injury update on Miles by tomorrow morning. Josh Langford scored a career-high 19 points, 5 assists to give the Spartans the win. Both the men's and women's team will now head to Oregon to play in the field night Invitational Tournament, the PK80 Tournament. The men will play DePaul on Thursday. That's right, Thanksgiving. Tip-off at 11:30 p.m., so a great way to end your Thanksgiving Day there, Spartan fans. And the women's team will take a quick pit stop to play the University of Detroit Mercy on Tuesday at 7 p.m., and then number one UConn on Turkey Day at 3 p.m. The Michigan State men's soccer team will advance to the Sweetness of 16 of the NCAA tournament after beating the Virginia Tech Hokies yesterday 3-0. Like that soccer jargon, Isaac. 3-0. I'm saying it a lot now.
Yeah.
I was about to say I'm becoming an adopted soccer fan.
Nope, yeah, that's
that
not
will
true.
Never happened. But the Spartans got off to a hot start with forward Ryan Sierakowski scoring a goal within the first 5 minutes of the game for DeJuan Jones, the local product from East Lansing High School. He would score 15 minutes later, while defenseman Michael Pimlott netting the Spartans' third goal late in the first half. Damon Rensing's squad will take on Western Michigan University in the Sweet 16 come this Saturday, 6 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. MSU beat the Broncos 1-0 earlier this season on October 4th in Kalamazoo. The Michigan State ice hockey team took took home two wins this past weekend over Ferris State with a 3-2 overtime win on Friday and a 3-1 win on Saturday. The Spartans improved to 7-5 on the season. Friday night, Mitchell Lewandowski put up two goals and an assist to give the Spartans a 2-0 lead, but the Bulldogs came fighting back to force extra time. Tyro Hirose, he would be the overtime hero and lift the Spartans to a victory. John Letheman made 27 saves on the night. Saturday, the Spartans would get a goal in each period by Brennan Sanford and Mitchell Lewandowski and Carson Gatt. The win marks MSU's first road win of the season and gave the Spartans a series sweep. The Spartans will play Penn State come this weekend, starting on the road on Friday night, puck drop, 7 p.m. Michigan State volleyball team, this is amazing. I mean, Michigan State didn't have a team this past weekend that didn't win. The MSU volleyball team also handled business on Saturday. It was senior day for Kathy George's squad as they swept the Indiana Hoosiers 3-0. Outside hitter Autumn Bailey led the Spartans in kills with 11, while setter Rachel Manerick had 33 assists. Bailey and Manerick were two of seven seniors honored on Saturday night, with Holly Tolliver, Alyssa Garbalink, Megan Tompkins, Abby Monson, and Brooke Cranda all honored on that same day. The Spartans will finish their season on the road as they travel to Indiana to play Purdue on Friday, Indiana Saturday, both games slated for 7 p.m. There are three Greater Lansing Area high school football teams headed to the high school finals at Ford Field in Detroit. Jackson Lumen Christie will play Ithaca in the Division 6 finals, while Pawama Westphalia will take on Sagatuck. Lumen Christie, 11-1 on the season. Ithaca, 13-0. Terry Hesbrook with another stout squad, while PW is 12-1. The Pawama Westphalia Pirates and Sagatuck game will take place at Ford Field on Saturday at 10 a.m., while Lumen Christie and Ithaca will play on Friday with kickoff scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Two of four Lansing Catholic football players who knelt during the national anthem during games this fall decided to leave the school. Michael Lynn III and Matthew Abdullah, both seniors, transferred to Lansing Sexton and Holt High Schools, respectively. Lynn Abdullah and former teammates Kabosh Richards and Rajay Williams said they knelt at games this season as a form of peaceful protest against racism. Their actions didn't appear to sit well with the school officials and head coach Jim Ahern, the football coach. We are working on trying to get a few of those players to join us live here in Studio West. That is before we bid you all adieu for the Thanksgiving holiday. So a loaded show, folks. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to join us here on the airwaves. Again, join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. We'll talk Lions. We'll recap the entire weekend for Michigan State sports. John LeBlanc will talk MSU soccer with us. And we also have a special guest that I've been saving for you all. We tried to get him in last week. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You got to stick around to find out. Let's start the show.
looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness. By Connor Bourne. Snap, hold, not even close.
Wow.
Holy Moses.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is November 20, 2017. As I stated at the top of the hour, hard to believe that Turkey Week is here, man. It's one of my favorite holidays. One of my favorite holidays where I just absolutely get the chance to stuff myself. What diet? You know, I'm on this healthy fitness diet, but that completely goes out the window come this Thursday, okay? We've got a lot to talk about on today's Current Sports, and I want to start by addressing the Detroit Lions, your Detroit Lions. A nail-biter at the very end as they barely squeak by the Chicago Bears. Now, I know, Lions fans, you're feeling good right now. First time in a long time, or it may be the first time ever. Got to double-check this stat, but if I heard correctly, the Lions, for the first time in franchise history, swept divisional opponents on the road. Pretty impressive stuff in that regard, because it's taken a long, long time for that to happen. And, you know, a lot of you are feeling good about the Detroit Lions heading into this game against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings look really good right now, though. Case Keenum and the Purple People Eaters, they sit at the top of the NFC North right now. And if the Lions want to have a shot at that divisional crown, they got to handle business this Thanksgiving. But I just don't see it happening. Feel good, Lions fans, because I still say that the Lions right now, especially when you look at how the schedule stacks up from here on out, the Lions have an easy schedule with the exception of the Minnesota Vikings this Thursday. Now, the Lions struggling against the Chicago Bears. I mean, come on. I couldn't believe that. When watching that game, I was a bit confused because the Lions playing the Bears, I thought it was going to be a blowout, to be honest with you. But it took some Matthew Prater heroics to pull out this dub. And For me, you know, when you sit back and evaluate how this game took place, I mean, yet again, the Lions start slow. I don't know what it is about slow starts for this team, but they love comebacks, man, even dating back to last season. For the second straight week, the Lions had to climb out of a 10-0 hole. The Bears struggled on that first series, but they came out and just marched through that Lions defense, making it look really easy, picking up 5 first downs. And then the Bears were in the red zone. And Mitchell Trubisky and that Bears offense started to hum. And then all of a sudden, the Lions are in an early hole, staring at a 10-point hole. Now, eventually, Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, and it's crazy when you look at his numbers at the end of this game, because it didn't really seem like it, but the dude had a passer rating of 120.2. That's amazing. He was 21 of 31 for 299 yards, 2 touchdowns, didn't throw a pick, finished with a quarterback rating of 120.2. Despite the slow start. Wow, it really, you know, looking at how that game started, it looked like Matthew Stafford was going to fall victim to the curse of Soldier Field yet again, but he turned it around. And we're starting to see why Matthew Stafford is the highest paid player in the game, why he's the highest paid quarterback in the game, because without Matthew Stafford, this Detroit Lions team, my goodness, would not be in the playoff conversation. He saves this team time and time again. How about Marvin Jones Jr. too? 4 catches, 85 yards, 1 touchdown. He is part of the reason why Matthew Stafford has been so good out of the bye week. Marvin Jones has been a man. But I love to ask this question to Lions fans. How do you measure success? Because for me, when taking into account that it is the Detroit Lions, the goal has to be to host a playoff game. You want to win your division. If the Lions host a playoff game, and let's say they lose that game, that's a successful season. That is a successful season for the Detroit Lions. Nobody expects the Detroit Lions to go deep into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. Newsflash, that is not going to happen for multiple reasons. And a few of the biggest reasons have to, you know, for me are, I mean, really the only 3 players you can rely on and depend on. Well, I'll add a 4th one in there as well. To have a good game week in and week out are Matthew Stafford, Matt Prater, Marvin Jones Jr., and I would say Darius Slay, who is the anchor of that Detroit Lions defense. Other than that, there are a lot of question marks on this team. And I don't know, you know, because I was chatting with a few of my friends who are diehard Lions fans in Detroit. And I don't know how, my goodness. Now, I felt kind of the wrath of being a fan as well yesterday as my Cowboys just absolutely got just beat down by Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. But being a Cowboys fan is much more fun than being a Detroit Lions fan. I don't know how they do it, but they're so delusional right now. Many of them are. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a few of you out there that get it. It's the Detroit Lions. We struggled against the Chicago Bears. We're not expecting the Lions to become world beaters all of a sudden and win the Super Bowl and deliver the first Super Bowl in franchise history to us Detroit fans. No, some of you guys are really realistic out there, but a few of you out there believe that this team can really go deep in the playoffs. That's not going to happen. Wake up, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. The Folgers is a brewing right now. You just keep hitting the snooze button, all right? Right now, this Lions team, the way they are performing right now, they have no chance to beat some of the big dogs in the league, okay? Let's just put that out there. And why? I mean, there's multiple reasons why. First off, this is the 61st straight game in which the Lions have not had a 100-yard rusher. You cannot win in the NFL if you do not have some form of a running attack. Now, there's moments where Amir Abdullah looks very elusive and looks pretty impressive. How about that stop on the dime and spin move? Hit the circle button that he had yesterday, right? Really nice. But that happens like once or twice throughout the game. Other than that, I feel like the running backs are just kind of running into coverage, picking up a yard here, a yard there, and then you got to rely on Matthew Stafford's arm. That's what happened yesterday. You cannot win in this league if you do not have an efficient and effective run game. And then next, defensively. You know, this Detroit Lions defense has been great at times, you know, getting numerous takeaways. I told you, I absolutely love, you know, Darius Slay. He's a big-time baller. But that run defense for the Lions, not effective. Not effective right now. Right now, they are missing Ezekiel Ansah and Haloti Ngata. Because that defensive line has a lot of holes right now. And it allowed Mitchell Trubisky and that offense to just roll down the field far too often in that game. That has to shore up. That has to shore up. And then you play a Vikings team, you know, in Case Keenum. That is looking pretty good. Actually, Isaac Constance, in your current sports, your New Orleans Saints will play the L.A. Rams, I believe, come this weekend. And you saw what the Vikings did to the Rams, and the Rams are having a really good season. But Case Keenum and that offense, my goodness, they are impressive. And the Vikings defense. The Vikings defense is a really good defense, one of the tops in the league. I looking at this Lions team and how they struggle. This is the Chicago Bears, for goodness sake. One of the laughing stocks of the NFL. And you struggled against the Chicago Bears and had to rely on Matt Prater's golden leg to yet again get you out of hot water. I don't see the Lions beating the Vikings. I do still see this team getting into the wild card. They'll probably have to play a playoff game on the road. I don't see them making a deep run once they make the playoffs, though, Isaac.
Well, more than the Lions even relying on the golden leg of Matt Prater, they relied on the leg of lead from Connor Barth to miss that 46-yarder at the end of the game. I mean, you talk about a team that got lucky this past week because all of the momentum was with Chicago. Mitchell Trubisky, who I eviscerated before the season because there's no reality for me where that guy's the number one overall pick of the draft. But nonetheless, he looked good against the Lions for large sections of that game. And that was shocking in itself. The thing is, we mentioned it. It's all about scheduling at this point. It's all about luck. The thing is, the Lions will almost have to run the table. Whereas Minnesota, if they win maybe 2 to 3 more games, just go 3-3 the rest of the season. That's not too much to ask for an 8-2 team. They probably win this division. And
let's be real here. Yeah, they will win the division.
Without, if they,
I mean,
go
they got
3-3.
The Lions coming up here. They will play the Falcons. Solid team. Panthers, that's going to be a tough matchup. Bengals, that's a win. Packers, Brett Hundley and that offense, they'll probably win that game. Then they play the Bears to finish out the year. The Vikings are going to win the NFC North.
The one thing is, though, weren't you saying that you thought the Lions had the edge before this week?
I did.
What changed with this week? Did you not
against
expect
the Chicago Bears is what changed my perception this week.
That's
when
fair.
I looked at that score and I said, what in the world is going on? I'm at the MSU soccer game. And I'm sitting there with Jacob Herbert, current sports intern and reporter. And we're sitting there watching the score updates throughout this game. And I'm sitting there saying, the Chicago Bears are doing this against the Detroit Lions? That is what I thought. I thought coming into this game, it would not even be close. I thought it would be a game where you probably change the channel and start looking at what other games are on at the same time as the Lions after halftime. When I saw them struggle against the Chicago Bears yesterday, I don't see them winning this division. I don't see them even competing against the Minnesota Vikings come this Thursday.
Now, it's the NFL.
Yep. There's a lot of parity in the NFL, and we've seen shockers happen. I mean, heck, how about the New York Football Giants beating the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday? Things happen in the NFL. But right now, and this is the big thing with me, is the Lions run game, dude. I mean, when you constantly have to rely on Matthew Stafford's arm each and every week, and you don't, and you're running the football and you're going nowhere, how do you expect to beat one of the best defenses in the league with that kind of offense? It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen. And don't get me wrong. I mean, this Lions schedule, Isaac, you know, and this thing,
it's favorable.
It's favorable.
Yeah,
it is.
To say the least.
I mean,
right
now, in the last 2 weeks, you know, teams with a combined record of 3-17 have racked up yards like it's nothing against the Lions. They play down to their competition, and at times we've seen the Lions play up to their competition. But when evaluating this Bears game, I don't see how you're beating the division-leading hot Minnesota Vikings. I just don't see it, dude.
Yeah, it was sad watching that game, though, because going into this game, I'm with you. I thought it was really a neck-and-neck competition between the two. And honestly, it's tight, too, because obviously this next game against the Vikings is a must-win for the Lions. We all know how important momentum is in football,
well, it's a must-win depending on the conversation you're having.
Yeah,
it's a must-win because it's a must-win if you hope that the Lions can host a playoff game here and have a chance at winning the division.
Yes.
I think if they still lose against the Vikings,
they could still get in with the wild card. Yeah, because a 9-7 record is not untenable whatsoever for this team. But if you beat the Vikings, the thing is, your toughest two games are right ahead of you. Because the Ravens, they're coming on a little bit. We saw them blow out their opponent this weekend. They won, I think, 23-0 or something of those likes. And the Baltimore Ravens finally seem to be striding ahead 5-5 on the season. If the Lions can get those two, though, it's amazing what pressure does in these situations. The one thing I'll say about the Vikings is they're inexperienced. They've choked in the past. Case Keenum, not used to this pressure. So the Lions are the more veteran, the more weathered team in this situation. Sometimes it's nice being on the heels. With that being said, no, I think the Lions probably host get a wild card too, and that's the best of their season.
The Lions aren't winning this weekend. This Thursday, I should say. I'm sorry, Lions fans. They are not beating
the Minnesota Vikings.
It's a home game. Thursday.
I don't care.
Okay.
They could play in at the practice field. Really, will really be a home game. I mean, they could play. I don't care where this game would take place. Pluto, Mars, it does not matter, Isaac. The Lions will lose against the Minnesota Vikings.
I'll take the Lions.
I don't do this often on Current Sports. You know, especially this early on a Monday. But looking at that game against the Bears, they will not beat the Minnesota Vikings come this Thursday. In the past 2 weeks, the Lions have allowed a combined 462 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. That is miserably horrible. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with John LeBlanc of the State News. Of course, Michigan State men's soccer beat reporter for the State News. He'll give us a recap of what took place at DeMartin Stadium against Virginia Tech yesterday. The Spartans moving on in the NCAA tournament. We'll also have a special guest after that. Live here in studio, that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
One of the players there. I wonder if you could get a few questions in.
Great. Let's talk to him. Come on over here, dude. Okay, I'm here with... Can you turn around so I can get a name? Yes, that is a S, a K, and a J all next to each other, so that's a nope.
Oh, boy, how hilarious was that? Oh, man. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Shout out to Isaac Constance for that bit. Yeah, I watched. Did you watch the entire episode or just snippets of it, Isaac?
No, just snippets.
Okay. Chance the Rapper was pretty good on Saturday. Also, the musical guest was D-Town's own Eminem, who absolutely rocked it. He was amazing. The entire episode was amazing. But yeah, that was probably one of the funniest skits from SNL. It reminded me so much of myself, especially when I first started the gig here at WKAR. I had to brush up on my hockey. I mean, I can hold a conversation now, of course, yeah. But brothers, you know, I always say this, brothers, we just don't do hockey. A lot of us just don't do hockey, man. And Chance the Rapper had a funny skit where he was a sideline reporter for the New York Knicks. And I guess the guy who usually does reporting, sideline reporting, do they even call it sideline reporting in hockey? What do they call it? Sideline
reporter? That works, yeah.
Sideline reporter for hockey. He was out sick on paternity leave, actually. And they had Chance, who was acting as the usual sideline reporter for the Knicks, in. And the brother knew nothing about hockey. He's just sitting there saying, just basically trying to get by. The skit is, I don't want to ruin it. That was a pretty funny bite.
Oh, yeah. And Casey Harrison actually recommended that, our production assistant here.
Good stuff, Casey.
How
good
you
stuff.
Pronounce that last name, you heard him say SKJ together, so that's right. A nope. I would have had no idea as well. I don't think anybody would have. It's Shea. That
it's
last
Shea,
name
really?
Is Shea. SKJOI or whatever is EI is Shea.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I think Chance, with that skit, he pretty much summed up how every brother feels when you bring up hockey. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Our first guest for today is Current Sports. He's just joined us here in Studio West. I saw him yesterday at DeMartin Stadium covering the Michigan State men's soccer matchup against Virginia Tech, in which Damon Rensing's squad now moves on to play Western Michigan University, Western topping Albany yesterday. And I believe, John, and you said this during the press conference, it was WMU's first ever NCAA tourney win in men's soccer?
Correct. That's Western's first win in NCAA tournament history.
Wow. How about that? Go Broncos, man. That's a big win. And, you know, now these two programs will match up in third round action come this Saturday at DeMartin Stadium. That will be a 6 p.m. start. So, hey, a lot of people, I'm sure, will be in town. Those from East Lansing will be in town. And, hey, if you're trying to check out, you know, some men's soccer, that is going to be a fabulous game to be at. But, you know, when evaluating this game yesterday, first off, John, it was very cold. I still can't feel my fingers.
Yeah, I was frozen for the rest of the day from the waist down.
Yes.
And they brought, you weren't even in the press box. They brought hot chocolate up in the press box.
What?
Yeah.
You couldn't text a brother? You probably saw me down there.
I actually was looking for you down there, and I couldn't find you.
Oh, man, I would have been up there so quick, man. But, yeah, I froze out there shooting that game along with our intern, Jacob Herbert. But, you know, what surprised me, Michigan State, getting off to the start that they got off to. I mean, it was a 3-0 lead. To start off, Michigan State getting on the board early, I believe in like the first 5 minutes of the matchup, right?
Yeah, it was like just after the 4-minute mark.
I mean, how surprising was that for Michigan State to come out the gates and to get a lead like that to, in a tourney game?
Especially not just because they got off to a lead. It was a 3-0 lead. I mean, they have not had that type of lead throughout. Like most, they maybe scored two goals, and the first thing that comes to my mind is against Ohio State back like on the beginning of October. So that was a real surprise to me. And Rensing said even post-game, you were there, this the real challenge for us was to, you know, focus on, you know, holding this 3-0 lead and not like get a hold of ourselves or get cocky about
get
it.
Get complacent.
Yeah, get complacent. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was very surprising. I mean, that offense just looked like they just, except for maybe like a 10-minute period towards the end of this first half, that Michigan State offense just looked like it had its way with the Hokies defense.
Yeah, but how surprising was that? I mean, Virginia Tech, pretty good team.
Pretty good team from like the ACC. Like, they're the sixth. From my understanding, they're the sixth team in like in the terms of the ACC standings.
Okay,
but they're like, that conference is just loaded with talent. You got Wake Forest, you got North Carolina, you just got a bunch of just power teams in there.
Right, certainly. Yeah. So a 3-goal lead. You know, there were no goals scored in the second half, I believe. But you know, when you have a lead that early, like you just said, John, I mean, the concern that you have is okay, let's not get fat and happy here. Mm-hmm. Let's finish the deal. And you know, it was funny. I asked the players; they had the 3-goal scorers. Available also after that matchup. Of course, those being DeJuan Jones. You also had Ryan Sierakowski and also
Michael Pimlott.
Michael Pimlott. They were all three there around head coach Damon Rensing, and I had to ask him about the weather conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, playing in those kind of conditions.
Oh, yeah.
They acted like it didn't even faze him, though.
Yeah. And Sierakowski, I know Sierakowski was, but I believe Pimlott was also wearing short-sleeve shirts.
I don't get that. That's crazy.
I should have asked him, like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, we're freezing our butts off wearing, like, four layers, and they're just out there in short sleeves and shorts. Just like, oh, it's nothing. I'm like,
couldn't believe that.
Slap him inside the head. I know, like, come
right?
on now.
No hats on? I mean, if I did that, I probably would be waking up. I would have been waking up today with pneumonia, all right? So, yeah, that was amazing to me. But I guess when, you know, what they said was, with the adrenaline pumping, big game, your fans are there, you're on your home turf, you forget about the cold after a while after you've been running up and down that field. But so now they will match up against the Western Michigan Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
They topped the Broncos on October 4th earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 1-0 victory.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see in that matchup, and what can you draw as we start to preview that game come Saturday, John?
I mean, they're both kind of similar teams. They're both really good defensively. I'd say Western kind of maybe has the edge offensively overall through the season just because they have more goal scorers, they have more threats in the terms of like the number of goals distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely more heavily attacked. But again, this Michigan State team proved then and probably will prove now and has proven like the past couple of games, minus that Ohio State Big Ten quarterfinal matchup, that they're very defensively heavy. They can't stop like a high profile offense. So I'd expect the Michigan State defense to come out per usual, and that Western Michigan offense will definitely test the Spartan defense.
You know, John, I believe the last time Damon Rensing and his program hosted an NCAA tourney matchup, that was in 2014, where they went to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of playing at home, playing at DeMartin Stadium, what makes that atmosphere so dynamic that usually leads to wins?
It's just the fans are really into it. I mean, just going out the press box and hearing, like, you know, the upper deck guys and people like that, they're just, like, yelling at everything, They're really – they will – if there's a player on the other team that will maybe do something that's maybe kind of iffy in terms of penalties and stuff, they will heckle the crap out of him. Like, they will not let him go.
Right.
Like, when Virginia Tech's Brandon Moyer yesterday got two – it was two yellow cards or a red card. Either way, he was out of the game.
Yeah.
They gave it to him.
Oh, they did. I was sitting right there, and, you know, it's funny, you know, some members of that student section, they were just, the whole time, it reminded me back in high school, I used to run my mouth a lot.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Oh,
not
yeah,
even on football, but even in volleyball, I ran my mouth.
Oh, okay. So you're a trash talker like me on the court.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's a lost start, John. It's a lost start, man. But, yeah, that student section, they really do bring it. When they're out there, and they're very loud, and Damon Rensing certainly appreciates that.
Oh,
because
it
provides some sort of a home field advantage, I should say.
Yeah.
So this game against Western, I mean, looking at the bracket for Michigan State, final question here, looking at the bracket for Michigan State right now, John, and how things have gone so far. They get a first round bye, then they play Virginia Tech. They move on from them, a pretty, quote unquote, easy victory. I don't think any victory is easy, though, really, in NCAA tourney time around this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They now move on to play Western, a team they've already beaten. How far do you think this team can go?
Oof. I'd say at least Elite Eight bound. I'd say they at least beat Western like a 1-0, 2-1.
Okay.
But then those after that, it's just a I would say this after this Elite Eight game, or not Elite Game, the Sweet 16 game, which I think they will beat Western, I think it's just a testament of how far their offense can take them.
Who will they most likely play if they get past Western?
I believe it's Indiana.
Indiana.
Okay. And that team.
And Indiana is a really, really good
team. They're really good. They're, I think, top in the NCAA.
Top in the NCAA.
NCAA and, like, goals goals average allowed, like, and, like, their percentage is, like, 15% goals allowed or something. It's ridiculous. And they actually tied with them, 0-0.
Wow.
Double overtime in the season. Okay. In DeMartin. So, it's going to be...
Anything can happen around this time of the year. But, you know, if you get past Washington and have to play an Indiana team, that is going to be very interesting. Is it... And the last time MSU went to the Elite Eight, back in 2014, I can't remember if they did host more than one tourney game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for them to host back-to-back tourney games, that's big.
Yeah.
That is big.
Yeah. It's just, the crowd is supposed to be big there also, but I'm kind of questioning on the student side just because, you know, it's Saturday, people probably still want to stay home and
That's true. That
and it's going to be at 6 p.m., which is going to be, it's going to be cold. I'm going to
Thanksgiving holiday as well. A lot of students are going to be gone for the holidays, but we'll see. Curious to see. All right, John. Well, how can people read your work, my friend, and read your recap from Saturday's win?
You can go to
Sunday's win.
You can go to statenews.com and just, you know, go to the men's soccer tab under sports, and most of those articles will be by me. So read that. I'm probably going to have maybe a little preview about Michigan State Western's game and a little more stuff.
All right. Great stuff. My man, John LeBlanc of the State News, covering all things Michigan State men's soccer. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have a special guest for you to talk Michigan State men's basketball. Oh, that Stony Brook game. Interesting when it comes to a lot of levels. It wasn't easy to start, but eventually the cream rose to the top and Michigan State trounced on them. But we'll have a special guest to talk Michigan State men's basketball. Will also have chatter on Michigan State football. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with John LeBlanc of the State News. He covers Michigan State men's soccer for the State News. As Damon Rensing Spartans moved on to the third round of the NCAA tournament, where they will now, of course, host the Western Michigan Broncos this Saturday at 6 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. How about that? All right, let's talk Michigan State men's basketball now. You know, it was such a busy day yesterday. Haven't worked a day like that in quite some time, as you had a doubleheader from both the MSU men's and women's basketball teams, and sandwiched in between those, the MSU men's soccer team underway as well. You know, the MSU men's basketball game was pretty intriguing, I must say, because Michigan State, to start off in that game in the first half, Stony Brook held down the fort, I must say, and they did it with some pretty good shooting from deep. But eventually in the second half, Tom Izzo's Spartans cruised to a 93-71 win as they now rev up in gear for the Phil Knight, the PK80 Invitational, starting on Thanksgiving night as Michigan State will play DePaul. And right now live in studio, we have one of our favorite guests. He's certainly a dear friend of the show. He's former Michigan State men's basketball player and now acclaimed. He's even got the blue check on Twitter, okay? When you get that blue check and you get that verification on Twitter, you know you're big time, all right? It's our good friend Anthony Iani in the His House. And how you doing, man?
Good, Al. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. To you and yours as well, my man.
Thank
What's your
you.
Favorite food to eat on Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. You know,
that's a tough one.
You know, my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, she makes like this sweet potato, like marshmallow casserole.
Sweet potato marshmallow casserole?
Yeah, like it's really good.
That sounds off the chain, okay?
I've never had
those two sweet potato and marshmallows mixed like that, but that sounds amazing, dude. Okay.
It is, man.
That sounds really good. Me, I have to go with the mac and cheese. My mom throws down with the mac and cheese. I'm looking forward to stuffing my face with that come this Thanksgiving holiday. But thanks so much, man. Happy Thanksgiving out there to all of our listeners as well. And we've been trying to get you in for a while now. I wanted to have you on next week, but this is a great time to have you on because
Michigan State played Stony Brook yesterday. Mm-hmm. You watched the Duke game. They fall to Duke. And I love the quote from Jaren Jackson after that game. Jaren said, hey, we played, quote, really, really bad, and we lost by 7. I mean, just imagine if they get things going in that game. Grayson Allen went off against mm-hmm. the Spartans. But I just want to get your early impressions on Michigan State as they now prepare for the PK80 tournament starting on Thanksgiving night.
You know what? The ceiling is really high for this squad. It really is. And if they just make a few corrections here and there, they're going to be fine. Rebounding, though, has got to be a lot better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of my girls' basketball players I coach at Churchill High School in Livonia, they were asking me, like, why did we lose that game? I said, well, you're not going to win games when you turn the ball over 17 times and you give up 25 offensive rebounds. I was like, that's unheard of, right? Especially here at Michigan State, considering, you know, what we're known for here, toughness on the glass and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I think if they just tweak a few things on the rebounding stuff and they get back to being that monster rebounding team they've been in 22 years that Coach Izzo has been here, they're going to be fine.
Miles Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Went down with an ankle twist the second half of that Stony Brook win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so crazy because earlier this year, gosh, Isaac, what game was that? We have to look that up. Isaac's on the phone right now as our listeners are calling in again. 517-355. If you have a question for Ant, 517-355-9527. But earlier this year, we saw Miles go up and come down. And, you know, it looked like he landed on his side, but he also was kind of bleeding from his head a little bit. But Miles Bridges is the player mm-hmm. for Michigan State men's basketball. And watching him go down, it was pretty scary in the second half of yesterday's game. How important, well, this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How important is he to this team? That's an obvious question, right? But how surprised were you with his lack of aggressiveness against Duke? He only took 3 shots in the first half. I thought could have been more aggressive in the second as well. He's the key to this big puzzle, right?
He is, and I felt like even yesterday he was settling for too many threes. I mean, that's, you know, Miles is a good shooter, but, you know, he's even better when he backs somebody down in the post. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, LeBron James. You know, I'm not a big LeBron guy, but, you know, I Me love, neither. You know, his talent, right? But
yeah,
LeBron's
yeah.
biggest thing is he's not the best shooter in the world. But when he backs you down, like, you're done.
Right.
And so I think that's what Miles has to do, and that's what makes Miles a complete player is that he has that capability of shooting the outside shot, but when he posts you up down low, you're in trouble. So I think he's just doing too much early on, and because I think he probably feels like, you know, maybe the whole world's on my shoulder and I got to do this, I got to do that for us to be successful. He's just got to play loose. Go out there, play his game, and then if mm-hmm. he keeps doing that, you know, it's like the Lions of Matthew Stafford. Number yeah. 9 will only take the Lions as far as they can go. Miles Bridges can take this team as far as he wants to take them.
And I tell you what, I think that, you know, I think that he's not doing enough yet. As
right.
far as his aggressiveness offensively, I think Miles sometimes has to develop that eye of the tiger, just says, mm-hmm. hey, give me the basketball. Everybody get out the way. I'm going to make something happen here. So
yep.
we'll see if that develops as the year rolls along here. Duke,
mm-hmm.
what was Duke able to expose against the Spartans?
Oh, man. I definitely think from a rebounding standpoint, I mean, Duke,
25
just,
offensive
they
rebounds.
Just went after everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that sometimes, like, we weren't getting enough bodies on Duke's, you know, players when they crashed the glass. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, Coach K may have saw as a weakness in our exhibition games was that nobody in our defense really went to the ball as it was coming off the rim, you know, mm-hmm. so just crash the glass and see what happens. And
right.
I think teams are going to look for that. But like I said, that's what all the war drills and practice and the boxing out practicing is going to do for you. And you know, Jaren Jackson, he's only played, you know, 4 total games, now 5 total games as a Michigan State Spartan. That's including exhibition games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's starting to learn, you know, as the season rolls on. And by the end of the season, he's going to be a double-double guy every game.
I agree with that. And, you know, Jaren, he's a freshman, and you're going to have growing pains with freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he fouled out, had 0 points. That was shocking, but when you consider that he is a young player, you're going to have moments like that. And I think he'll learn from that. I think Jaren is going to be a quick learner this season. He's going to find his way as
yeah.
the year rolls along here. But it was surprising, though, to see – at the end of the day, when you look at that stat line, 0 points, 5 fouls, that's not going to be the normal Jaren Jackson as we move along here as well. All right, Ant, before I want to ask you about MSU football as well, because it's been a remarkable year as Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans were able to beat the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday on Senior Day. One more game left in the regular season, and a lot of people are prophesizing out there that Michigan State will play Isaac's LSU Tigers in the Outback Bowl out in Tampa on New Year's Day. That's the way it's looking right now, at least, right, Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
But one more question when it comes to MSU basketball, because you know there's so many pieces to this team, man. Can you give us one or two players that you think must have a good year in order for Michigan State to be successful other than Miles Bridges?
I think Josh Langford needs to keep shooting the ball the way he's been shooting it. I know against Duke he really struggled, but then he really turned it on last night against Stony Brook. And the other guy I think I need really needs to step up or make shots is Matt McQuaid. You know, I love Matt. You know, he's a great kid, and he's a heck of a shooter. You know, I've seen him in practice before where he's been on fire and doesn't miss any.
It seems like he just has a confidence issue, and
if he doesn't make
that first, you know, jumper or even second jumper, it's like, oh, I'm thinking too much now. What do I need to adjust
right here?
And he's second guessing himself when he's got a wide open shot. He may pass it or hesitate. He's just got to just shoot or shoot, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like, and I'll use Michigan State football as an example. You know, Brian Lewerke early on passing the ball really wasn't that crisp, but once he got into his rhythm, you know, he was the most upbeat, positive guy and most confident guy in the league, you know, during that 3-week span up until Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Matt McQuaid's got to be the same thing. You know, once he gets going, like, you're not going to stop him. I know when Chris Hill was here, you know, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. he was in a shooter slump his senior year. But then once he got going, like, he was unstoppable.
So gotta stop thinking too much, right?
Exactly.
Just let it fly, man.
Just let it go, man.
Exactly.
Let it go. Let it fly.
And Izzo, you can see sometimes with Izzo, he's like, just shoot the ball sometimes.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Just looking at him coming to the huddle like, what are you doing? Just shoot the ball. It's so funny watching that interaction. All right, and speaking of MSU football, Michigan State right now has an opportunity to get its ninth win mm-hmm. of the season against Rutgers, which you'll probably do, knock on wood, barring some craziness, right, this weekend out in Piscataway. But right now, they have a chance to get its ninth win this Saturday against Rutgers. Nobody saw a season like this coming,
no.
Right?
No, I mean, nobody did. I mean, I think when you and I last talked about over the summer, I said maybe mm-hmm. we had a chance to go 8-4, maybe.
Right.
But the fact that they got a chance to win 9 games, a possible 10 against you know, Isaac's LSU Tigers. And I predicted that. I told my dad that 2 weeks ago. I said, we'll play LSU in the Outback Bowl. I said, you watch.
Yeah.
And so.
Isaac says, huh.
Yeah. But you know what? But when you tell me that you got a guy like Brian Lewerke, first full-year starter, and then you got freshman wide receivers that are making incredible impacts, mm-hmm. and then you got sophomores and redshirt freshmen and redshirt sophomores and redshirt, you know, juniors making impacts on defense. I mean, if you were to tell me that those guys were going to be as big as they are on defense right now, you know, and just stopping people, like, I would have told you, let's wait and see how they do. But
the
future of this program is incredibly bright.
Looks bright, really bright.
It really is.
You got to get your stunner shades on right now.
Oh,
it's so bright right now. I tell you what, there were not a lot of seniors that were honored come this past weekend, Isaac.
No.
We saw guys like Gerald Holmes, Chris Fry as well, Brian Allen. And I tell you what, when looking at this team for the next year at least, you get your sophomore quarterback, Brian Lewerke. Oh, boy.
It's scary.
They're going to be something to deal
with.
And
if LJ Scott sticks around, which I think he's going to because he says something on Twitter.
Instagram. What did he say on Instagram? I didn't see that.
So there was a picture of him and some of the quarterbacks walking out on the field, and then he said in the caption, last one until September. So
really?
I was like, okay, well, I said that should probably close the book on whether he stays or goes, because I've always thought that he should stay because,
okay,
you know what, he's got a lot to work on, and I think he can have an incredible year, especially with the offensive line having a full year under its belt together as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he does stick around, I mean, that team's going to be pretty good next year.
I think he's gone, Ant.
You think he's gone?
There's something in me. I think for a running that position, you know, the shelf life of
running
back.
Then that Instagram post is the biggest troll.
It may be.
The biggest trolling post I've ever seen.
Maybe doing some LeBroning on Instagram, maybe. I have to look at that post, but I got a feeling that he's gone, man. If I'm him, and I'm sitting there as a running back, Isaac, that window, I feel like, now, can he get better? Of course. Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
LJ Scott has so much room to get better, right? But I just got a feeling. I'm just going with my gut here. I think that LJ Scott is gone.
The reason I think he's staying, and the reason that he probably, for me, might say, okay, maybe I can improve my draft stock even with another year off the shelf life gone, mm-hmm. is because how many times did he fumble it in the first 4 or 5 weeks? That's not LJ Scott.
If he holds it
for next year, then he's a 3 or 4 round pick. If he leaves this year, he's more like a 6th round pick for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think that That's why I say he has so much room to grow because of the fumbling issues. He's got a fumbling issue right now.
Right.
It bled over into the beginning of this season from last season. So we'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if he left, and I can't knock him if he left this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's why Amir Abdullah stocked, you know, fell yeah. too. Yeah. It was because of the fumbling.
Right, exactly. The fumbling.
Right, exactly.
Got to take care of the football, right? Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have exactly 1 minute left in the show. Let's have Ann on to close out the show here with a segment we call Reflection Friday, where we look. Well, excuse me. Where's my head right now? See, this is Monday.
We're running for break, man.
I tell you what, break. Weekend winners is what we call this segment, where we look at the weekend that was in the sports world and beyond, and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in the world of sports. Here we go. Aye, aye, aye.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, 30 seconds. I am going with Anthony Durrell, who beat Dennis Duglin in Flint Town on Friday night. Anthony Durrell, I'm just waiting on the brother to get a big title shot. Ant, real quick, you got a weekend winner? Anybody? Lions?
Detroit Lions, man,
there
all day.
Go. Detroit Lions, Isaac.
Give me the Pistons and Reggie Jackson.
All right. We'll see you on Tuesday, folks. Thanks for listening. Be easy, people.